Well, good morning. The Casillases, Herman, Miriam, and Nani, wanted to tell everybody hi. They're traveling this morning. Said they send their love. Just got off the phone with Jesse, and he says he, again, is stronger this Sunday than he was last Sunday, and he's feeling stronger every single day. Praise the Lord. And if everything keeps going well, he will be in church, maybe not behind the board next week, but he is, his desire is to be here with us. So he's been reading books and encouraging his heart in the Lord. And so just know that your prayers have been answered and appreciated. Now, as far as my wife, my lovely bride, she is not feeling well at all today. So we're going to pray for her and for anyone else that may be missing, not feeling well this morning. Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we lift Gabe before your throne. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch her, Lord, substantially in her sinuses, in her lungs, Lord, in with her immune system, Lord. I pray that you would just come and fortify it and strengthen it and bring healing to her body. Lord, we speak life over her. We speak health over her in Jesus' name. And for Jesse, Lord, we pray for full restoration and full recovery. Lord, that he would this summer be out riding the greenway, Lord, as he hasn't been able to do for several years, Lord. We believe, Lord, for health and vitality for our brother. For anyone else, Lord, that may be ill, Lord, that hasn't been able to be here today, Lord, I pray that you would touch their body. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the great healer, Lord. You have placed healing inside of us because you live inside of us. So, Lord, activate that in your people. And, Lord, once again, we come, Lord, to you as your children. Lord, we come wanting to give you praise and lift you up and give you the adoration and the worship that you're due. So, Father, I pray that we would just set our affections, we'd set our attention on you, the one who's created our faith, the one that has established us in the faith, and the one that will finish our faith. And we just bless your name, Jesus. We just bless your name, Lord, the name above every other name, Lord. We thank you that we are in your name, and we are protected by your name, and your name is a strong tower and a mighty fortress, Lord, and we can run into it and be safe. So, Lord, we take refuge in you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Mountain shaken
Shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. For there's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. Jesus is our God. We will sing. Holy, holy, holy. Shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Shout your name, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We worship you.
Lord of all the world, shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh.
God that three in one.
God, for all will see how great is our God. We'll be right back. its all, heaven's mercy see.
Raise to
nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
Jesus was in my heart. There was a separation that I dealt with. There was this dilemma, so to speak, that I felt that I needed him to literally come from some place to manifest himself in me. And when I would sing this song, like, draw me close to you, it's like, Lord, you know, wherever you are, just draw me close to you. Let me know, you know, that I'm in your arms. Let me know that okay, everything in my life that is upside down, you're gonna make it work out. But it was still this idea of separation. And you know, this song kind of makes it sound like that, but towards the end it really clarifies what's going on. It's help me know you are near. In other words, he's already in us. There's no separation between us and God. God, the only separation has been in my own mind. It's been from my own conduct, my own ways, my own behaviors. That's what has separated me from God. God's never been separated from me. And so when we think about this dynamic of you're all I want, you're all I've ever needed, and you know, you're all I want, that's kind of a big statement. And I know for me, it's like, wow, can I say that today, that you're all I want? Yeah, at this service, you're all I want. But then it seems like when I go outside these doors, life comes, and it's like, I'm not really thinking that, you know, that he's all I want. But even though I may not be living it, in my heart, that's the case. He still is all I want. Even though I have to go through my day and do my stuff I have to do, my job, my work, you know, the pay the bills, he's still all I want. And so even though we can't necessarily agree 100% that we're always in that frame of mind, it's just like, you know, Gaines, she's not here right now. I mean, I want her to be here. And, you know, even though we're singing a worship song, I still want her to be here. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's still that desire in my heart. It doesn't mean that just because I'm not thinking about her every minute, that she's not still all that I want. And I think that works that same way with God. And so when we sing this again, let's make this a prayer this morning that as we're drawn close to him, let's let our hearts be reassured that he's always with us and that he is near. Lord, I pray that there'd be a revelation of you this morning.
Say that I'm
But Lord, we just thank you for your presence, Lord, that's always with us. But Lord, there's a sweet presence here right now. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your manifesting yourself, Lord, here today. And I pray that if there's anyone that feels that separation, Lord, that I was talking about, God, that you would just eradicate that from their mind and let them see, Lord, themselves in you as they truly are, loved by the Father, received by the Father, in a place of communion and oneness with the Father. Lord, I pray that that separation would be broken. Lord, that illusion of separation would be broken today. And that the knowing that you are the one that's been chasing after them, you're the one that's been holding them, you're the one that's never left them, Lord, would be revealed to them today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Good job today. Yeah, right? I got to remember to push that soft three times, not just one, not just twice, because it just repeats once. And then it comes back to the intro, and it's like, no, don't do that. I'm so glad that nobody here is looking for perfection. Because if you are, you've come to the wrong place. You're far from perfection. Only perfection that's here is the perfection that's in us in Christ, right? Which that's pretty good. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll see how I do today without Gay, if I can make sense even. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on their heart that maybe you feel like you need to just say something during worship? Maybe the Lord showed you something. Anyone? No one? Awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm loading up the message as we speak. So, last week, we shared on the tongue, and I almost was going to continue that, but I just thought, well, it's not, I don't think this is the week to do that. So maybe because Gay's not here, I don't know. But, as I was, you know, thinking about last week and sharing on the tongue, I used mostly Proverbs and a few other scriptures. But I never really brought up any Greek or any Hebrew words. And sometimes those really just help to, I don't know what it is. It's like it opens up, when you get the definition of something, because we all have our own ideas of how a word translates. You know, like if I say, you know, the dump out there, everybody's got a different picture of a dump, you know. Some people see the city dump and it's all clean and everything, and you know, you back in, and others who haven't been out there for a long time still maybe remember the big old piles you had to back into with your trucks, and then the you had to get out of the way of the bulldozers when they were coming, you know. And then if you're from maybe another city, maybe the dump is just your was your neighbor down the street and where all the stuff was piled and thrown. I'm just saying, you know, one word can mean a lot of different things to all of us, and so I like to sometimes bring out that Hebrew. So I might be doing that next week, but that's not what we're doing this week. This week we're going to finish the book of John chapter 4. So this is our fourth chapter that we've gone through the book of John. We'll be starting 5 next time we do the series. And the title of this message today is, and it's from John 4, 43 through 54, In That Same Hour. In that same hour. And it's like, it's kind of a little not really clear message about what the message is going to be about. But sometimes I like, you know, pulling out a line that is succinct for that moment, but also reflects the characteristics and nature that God has used throughout. That's okay. That's good. I do that sometimes too. One time I was at a, I don't know what it was. It was like some kind of a meeting. And I was looking at my phone. And for some reason, I pushed, it was like an email came in, you know, and I was checking the email and you hit the link. Well, it was one of those autoplay emails. And I'm sitting there, it lows, all of a sudden it goes off, Gilbert. So I appreciate it, you know. And it's like, and I was trying to turn it off, and you know, and you start, you know, like, you know, you get kind of fumbly. And so I think I turned it up, and it's like everything went south on that one. So anyway, just know you're in good company, so no worries. In that same hour. So if we go to John 4:43, we see that this is the very end of the time that Jesus spent in Samaria. And Samaria is, if you haven't read John 4, or if you don't remember it, I encourage you to go back and read it. This is the story of the woman at the well. It was a necessity for Jesus to meet and encounter her. And he ends up, you know, declaring to her that he was going to give her rivers of living water. And, you know, she is like wondering, you know, about where he was going to get the ability to draw from the well. And he was trying to communicate to her that these living waters would come out of her. And so again, this dynamic, this realization that what we have is inside of us. It's God in us. How many know that even before you knew God, you live and you existed, and yet you had your very being in him, that he was your source of all life. And it's kind of a different revelation for most Christians, because I used to think that when I was a Christian, that's when I had God. But before that, like, God, I didn't want to have anything to do with me. I was just dirty, rotten scum, you know, but that's not the case. God loved me, and God was working in my life to bring me to a place where I could know his love, and I could know what Jesus did for me. And when that revelation came to me, the place where it wasn't just, you know, a mythical story or somebody's, you know, story from a book, I realized that Jesus did really do an awesome work. I received that, and that truth, that reality of being born again came into my life. So that happened to the woman at the well. She goes and tells her city that she's from, and they come to Jesus, and it says now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Now, how many know that that's from the region that Jesus was from? He was from Galilee. He was from Nazareth in the Galilean area. And it says now after 2 days, he went from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So a prophet is without honor in his own hometown is another verse. And so if verse 45, it says, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. Now in the feast, that's back in chapter 2, and it just says that, you know, Jesus turned over the money tables and that he did some signs. But it must have been significant enough that his home area was receiving him now, because they knew that what he was doing was powerful. He wasn't just, you know, Jesus from Nazareth. He was Jesus, a prophet who was ministering to the people. And it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now that was back in chapter 2 as well. And Jesus, as his mom requested to turn the water into wine, she said, well, whatever he says, do. And of course, he turned their water into wine, and it was saving the wedding, because the wedding had ran out of wine. Now, this is where our story changes. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, this is interesting. This nobleman, again, we may have terms of what a nobleman means. Maybe somebody that's pretty noble, somebody that's, you know, considered really high in the city, maybe a good businessman. But really what this word in the Greek means, this was an associate of a king. This was somebody of very, very high standings. Another word that was used back then is a courtier. And a courtier was somebody who was in the king's court. So he would have been like, somebody who was a confidant, maybe someone that communicated the king things to do, things not to do, or reminded the king of their laws. Who knows exactly what he did? But this guy was high ranking when it comes to the king. And it says that his son was sick at Capernaum. Now, verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." I think it's an interesting statement that Jesus is making to this man. Because this man is just saying, "Hey, can you come heal my son? He's almost at the point of death." And Jesus makes this kind of observation almost. Unless you people, and I don't think he was just talking to that guy. I think, it said he said to him, but I think there were people around. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And it's kind of an indictment for all of mankind in a way. It's like, how many have had anyone say, "Well, unless I can see it, I won't believe it," If Jesus is going to have to walk up to me, and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Here I am," especially people who are atheists, they say, "If God was this powerful God, why hasn't he revealed himself to me?" And so we kind of tend to seek those signs and those wonders, especially the Jewish people. They were terrible about seeking signs and wonders, partly because that's what they were used to, the splitting of the Red Sea, the plagues that came on Egypt so that they could leave Egypt. I mean, the manna in the wilderness for over 40 years, a miracle food. I mean, so they were used to seeing it. So the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Now, come down means come down to Capernaum from Galilee. Will you come down with me and come and pray and heal my child? I mean, a good father, he wants to see his son healed and not die. So Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So that man, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. So he's asking Jesus, "Please come. If you don't come, my child's going to die. I know you're doing mighty miracles. I know you're a miracle worker. Please come and heal my son." So he in his mind, thinks Jesus needs to come down to Capernaum, lay hands on his son, or do whatever. And Jesus says, "You know what? Go your way. Your son lives." And he believed him. That's all he needed. "Your son lives," and he goes his way. So it says in verse 51, "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.'" Now that would be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So yesterday, it sounds like this was maybe a little bit of a long journey for this guy. Because he's just got to his men, and they're saying yesterday this healing happened. So the father knew that it was at the same hour. There we go. At that same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed in his whole household. Then it says, this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word's alive. And Lord, that you have something to communicate to our hearts today. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would reveal that, Lord, as I or others communicate, Lord, what you want to show us here and how you want to work in our lives, Lord, not just in someone's life, Lord, in a story in the Bible, Lord. An amazing story, a miraculous story. But Lord, not just in that book, Lord, how do you want to work miraculously in our lives today? How do you want to work in our hearts, in our minds, Lord? How do you want to reveal yourself to us so that we fully believe and our households fully believe in your name? Thank you, Lord. So this nobleman, this individual who was used to a king. I don't know if it's when Jesus said, go your way, that he realized Jesus' authority, and he said, okay, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to believe what you said. You know, it reminds me kind of, and we'll see the centurion, that story in a little bit, but how he believes Jesus just by his word. Now, if you remember right, we were talking a couple weeks ago about hearing Jesus for yourself. And so I you know, it's easy sometimes to just read in the Bible and just easily, you know, I guess go along with the person. But if you really think about it, you're needing somebody to come down with you and they just tell you to go your way. It's okay. I mean, nobody else is going to maybe second guess that. Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying, but could you please just come and touch him? I mean, you know, that's good, but you know, I'd really like you to, you know, to do your full work in him, you know, not just a partial thing, you know, not just a partial, you know, anybody else relate? I mean, we want God to do the full meal deal. And yet, you know, Jesus said, well, go your way. It's done. And how many of us kind of do that same thing though, with the promises of God? You know, he says, you're more than conquerors in me. And we go like, oh yeah, Lord, yeah, more than conquerors. But like, you know, can you come here and show me and make that all work out? You know, it's like, well, why don't we just believe we're more than conquerors? And when circumstances and situations come up in our lives that are contrary to that, we say, well, no, Jesus has already said in his word through his apostle, we're more than conquerors. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Are those words just not as powerful? But we do. We like full interaction. We like the signs and the wonders, you know. We, you know, some people are waiting for a prophet to tell them exactly what they need to know, what they need to do, so that they can have the word from the Lord for their lives. But I bet if all of us were just quiet and just ask the Lord what he wanted from us, he'll speak to us. He's happy to speak to us. Problem is sometimes we can't tell he's talking, because sometimes it sounds like us, you know. You know, sometimes when, you know, we say, let's just be quiet, hear what the Lord says, and all you hear is, child, I love you. It's like, well, that's not very big, you know. I wanted like some grandiosa communication, you know. We always have these expectations that sometimes limit God working in our lives, because like Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It's a finished work. I know Gabe would have like, boom, some really good shit to say here. Okay, praise the Lord. But she's not here, so we move on. Matthew 8:5-13. So this is another story from the Word of God, and it's a miraculous story. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, interesting, it's Capernaum again. This man, this nobleman, was from Capernaum, and this centurion came to him from Capernaum. And he was pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Number one, I think this, unfortunately, this king, the new King James, can limit our view of this. We, you know, we think maybe, you know, just like my house worker, but this was like this, when he said servant, this is like his slave. This is like somebody that he had probably purchased and was in his home. And a lot of times slaves would become like members of the family. You know, they would just be adopted. So this man's heart was really feeling for the pain and the torment that his, he called him a servant here. I wouldn't doubt if he was his friend as well. That he left, you know, Capernaum, or he entered Capernaum, and the centurion comes to him, and, you know, he leaves the house, he goes to Jesus, and he's pleading for him. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, this is a different story. What did Jesus say in the last time? Jesus' work was, oh, no, don't worry about it. Just go, it's taken care of. Now Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. See, Jesus knows what he's doing. See, because this guy was a foreigner. This guy was going to be in the classification of a Gentile. And so he would have been probably breaking the law of the Jews. But he wanted this individual to know, I'll come heal him. And I'm sure probably his disciples and maybe others around, he's going to go to a Gentile's home. You know, this is before Peter went to Cornelius. This is when, you know, you don't mingle those two together. Verse 8 says this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So this man was communicating to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Hi, honey. He's keeping her distance. So everybody, you can turn and do your greeting with Gay. That's probably about the closest you're going to get to her today. So did you just hear my comment about you not being here? Were you here? Oh, you just came in. Okay. Your part came up just a moment ago and it was dead silence. I'm going like, okay, that would have been when Gay stepped in right there. But anyway, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. The reason he's saying that is I'm a centurion. I'm a Gentile. You're a Jew. I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. Now, Jesus was willing to go, and that's how Jesus started it. But I believe that this man was here for this particular purpose so we could understand a powerful concept, and that's that Jesus can speak a word. Just like he spoke a word to that individual and said, hey, you know, your son's well, just go ahead and go. He's healed now. He spoke a word and the child lived. Right now, Jesus, the centurion's telling Jesus, you just speak a word and my servant, my friend, my slave will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He's saying, Jesus, you're a man under authority. You're a man with great power. You don't need to do anything but speak your word. And my son, my servant, will be healed. Okay. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. I'm going down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So I don't know how far away he was from the servant, but it was that hour that Jesus said, go your way, your servant is healed. As you have believed, so it be done for you. Now, he didn't tell the father, as you have believed, did he? All he said was the father, just go your way, your son lives. See, Jesus knows how to talk to each and every one of us the way that we need to hear so that we can believe properly. Have you ever had anyone tell you something about, you know, like, oh, you gotta do this and God's gonna do this, you know, and they like, you know, something that works for them and they tell you and you try it and it just doesn't work. Anybody? It's kind of like, this is the formula. You pray this certain way and this will happen. How many know that relationships don't work with formulas? You know, you're like, okay, if I say this, then he'll say that. And if I say this, then he'll say that. And it's going to work out perfect. And you go, you say this, and then they don't say, oh man, I had a formula. Well, now I don't know what to say because I didn't plan for that. That's because relationships are dynamic. They're alive. And that's why the Word of God is alive, because the Word of God is a doorway into a relationship with our God. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. You guys are really quiet this morning. I see some smiles, which is very helpful. Thank you. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Now, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now notice what all is happening in all these cases in the same hour. It's someone else coming for someone else. Someone else that's holding someone else in their heart. They're bringing this need to Jesus. And this woman, in verse 23, faces a dilemma. But he answered her, not a word. What? Not saying a word. You talked back to the centurion. You talked back to the father from Capernaum. And you're not even answering a word to this lady. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Well, this doesn't sound very loving. Does it to you? What happened to the compassion and love, Jesus? Well, he'll explain it here. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." So she acknowledges his lordship, and she worships him. I don't know how she worshiped him, getting down on her hands and knees, prostrate, and saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." That word could also be puppies. So he's calling her a puppy, if you look it up in the Greek. But to take the children's bread, what was the children's bread? The miracles, the healings that they were receiving, and throw it to the little dogs. I mean, this is hardcore. Well, this woman was a Gentile. And she was a Gentile, and she was trying to receive the bread which Jesus was coming and ministering to the Jewish people of that time. And you could say she was outside of the club. But when she says this next statement, she breaks the mold of what's going on. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs or the puppies eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." In other words, Lord, you know as well as I do, some of these folks around here aren't receiving all the good stuff you got, and they're just letting it go on the floor. And Jesus answered her, right here. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, I don't know where her daughter was. Doesn't sound like she was there. We know that this woman was from another location. And so that very hour, her daughter was healed. But do you see how each one of these incidences was different? How Jesus was working with the individuals, where the individuals were. This last one, it sounds like he wasn't going to do anything. Or was he? Was he just waiting for that woman to come to a place of realizing who she was and who he was? I don't know. So what I want to leave us with today, this is a short one. See, you're not there, babe. It would be like another 10, 15 minutes with your your words of wisdom. She was like, "Really?" But I want to leave with us this idea that just because we're reading, you know, stories, communications out of the Bible, and they can seem distant at times. You know, these are things that happened years ago, 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we can relate with them and sometimes we can't. Sometimes we just read them for this, the fact of that we're reading a Bible story. But I want us to today engage with the fact that Jesus could communicate to us our hearts. Or maybe we could bring a need to the Lord and we could hear him say, "It's done. Go your way." In that same hour, it's taken care of. And maybe it's a financial need that you have in your life. Maybe it's a relational need that you have in your life. Maybe it's a physical ailment that you have in your life. Maybe you have someone in your life that you just want to know Jesus. You just want them to know God. You're tired of this, them seeing them hurt and injure themselves by not having the Lord working in their life. Or maybe it's just you. You would like to know God more. You'd like to have his fullness in your life more. So let's just take a moment. Father, we're just going to take a moment here, and we're just going to quiet our hearts. And we're just going to bring our needs before you. And Lord, we just want to hear you respond to us, what you have for us. Help us to believe, Lord, that what you say is true. Lord, just like the man who heard, "Go, your child lives." And he believed him. And that was the hour, Lord, that his son lived. And just like the centurion who said, "Speak a word, Lord, it'll be done." Lord, help us to have the faith and confidence, Lord, whatever you speak has the power to be done in that moment. And Lord, if there's individuals here, Lord, that feel that they're outside of your blessing them, Lord, we know that there's more than abundance, Lord, of your goodness and of your power, Lord, to work in every life that's here, whether we deserve it or not. None of us deserve it anyway. So we just quiet our hearts right now. We just speak to you, Lord, and ask you to speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm going to thank you for touching all of our hearts and our lives, Lord, and those needs, Lord, that we've brought before you, Lord, that we're believing, Lord, that in that same hour, Lord, that you have brought the answers for the word that you've spoken, Lord, that we would have faith and confidence to believe and follow through with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else have anything they want to share about this word or message? Yes. Come on up, Roger. Can you come up on the mic so that, unfortunately, people here and on the internet can't hear, and then they're like, "What was that?" Well, good. Thank you.
You know, I think it's really amazing that Jesus said he was amazed. The Son of God says he was amazed. But he was amazed that that Gentile was more spiritually aware than the Jews were, for the most part. He used that term again, that he was amazed that the Jews had such little faith.
Right.
Now, think about that. The Son of God says he was amazed. Doesn't that amaze you? I mean, think about it. Doesn't it amaze you? This is an hour of defeat. Not an hour of defeat. I hope you got that. This is not an hour of defeat, but an hour for victory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, one of the... I skipped over the 12 and the 13, or 11 and 12 of that. I'll, since you re-brought that back up, I'll bring it. Where was it again? 8, right? Hang on a second here. 11. So, yeah, now hearing it, this is 10. Now hearing it, Jesus marvels, and he said to those following, "Verily, I am saying to you, with no one in Israel, so much faith did I find." Oh, I'm using a different translation there, sorry. Like, what is he saying? "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So what is this saying? This is saying those ones that to whom Jesus was coming, that, like Roger was saying, they haven't been amazed at Jesus, and Jesus was amazed at this Gentile centurion's faith, that the ones who weren't ready to receive him, that they're going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds really mean, doesn't it? But I think what we're looking at here is that Jesus is saying, you guys are going to be in a place where you're not going to be able to receive all the goodness that I have because you're not able. This generation, it said another place, was not able to receive Christ. And it was a good thing because it made it so that they rejected him, and then we were brought into relationship with God. Their rejection became our acceptance by God, which is awesome. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? No one? Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are at work in our lives, Lord. And that I believe, Lord, that even though some of us maybe didn't hear you speak a certain thing, or we didn't even have the courage to bring up, Lord, one of our requests, Lord, that as we go home today, Lord, and as we even lay in our beds tonight, Lord, that we can set our attention and our thoughts on you, Lord, and have you speak to our hearts. Lord, a word of encouragement, Lord, a word that when we hear it, Lord, that in that same hour, Lord, a transformation and a change could come. Transformation to our circumstances, a transformation to our health, a transformation, Lord, to an area of our life, Lord, that maybe we need victory in. Lord, I just thank you, God, that we don't have to be sitting in this building, Lord, for your word to be spoken to us, Lord. But anywhere we are, at any time we turn to you, Lord, that we can receive, Lord, your words into our heart that will change and transform our lives. And thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a little bit of pan dulce left over there. Pan dulce is Mexican bread for those of you who are... What? Sweet bread. Yeah, it's kind of like Mexican donuts, right? Yeah. I can't have it. They're very good. So praise the Lord. We want to thank Jerry again for filling in for Jesse. Yeah. Doing a great job. Thank Chantel for coming early and having to be a support, right? Praise God. Well, bless you guys. You have a great day, and have a good week, and we will see you back here next week. If you would like to have prayer, Joe and Christine, I'm sure, are available for any kind of prayer needs. I was going to have you guys pray for Gay, but she just didn't even want to get close enough. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm not going to let anybody squeeze me or hug me. So you guys can pray for in proxy for her. So praise the Lord. All right. Bless you guys.